10:39, Jesus says this, it's in red. He says, whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever finds his life will lose it. That word finds literally means whoever tries to hold on to his life, whoever tries to control his life, whoever tries to be in charge of his own life, whoever seeks his own desires, does what he chooses and what he wants when he wants, life will slip through your hands like sand. You actually won't find the life you're looking for, but if you'll let go, that word loses literally means if you'll just relinquish control, if you'll allow God, the creator of heaven and earth, to take over the steering wheel, Jesus, take the wheel. It's like, Judah, you're in Austin. You can't start quoting country music like you know it, okay? Relax, bro. I do know Carrie Underwood. Just like start throwing out names, you know? Travis Matthew, that's a clothing brand. That's not a singer. Okay. I'm trying. Hip-hop's kind of my thing, but I'm going to do my best here, okay? Garth Brooks! But if you let go, I'm going to get a lot of you laughing. There's a few of you that haven't laughed yet, and it is my goal to get you laughing, okay? Jesus says, hey, will you let go of your life? In light of God's bigness and sovereignty and beauty and goodness, will you relinquish control and trust me for the rest of your life? So I want to talk to you about letting go, a life of letting go. Much is made of the Christian faith, much is made of the Christian journey, but in truth, we can summarize it as letting go. In light of Jesus' magnificence, his beauty, his goodness, his grace, all that he's done, it leads us to a lifestyle of living open-handed. We say, God, I trust you with my days, which lead to weeks and months and years and decades and decades. I trust you with my teens. I trust you with my 20s. I trust you with my 30s. I've just started trusting God with my 40s. Sweet God. It is amazing. And of course, Pastor Ryan's just started trusting God with his 50s. It is amazing. Dana's still trusting God with her 20s. It's amazing what God is doing. But it is in every season, isn't it? Every season, the idea of following Jesus is to relinquish control again. And for those of you that have had kids, it's amazing when they just come. My cousin last night had twin baby boys in Boise, Idaho, and he adopted twin boys because he said he couldn't have babies, and now they've given birth to twin boys. He has two sets of twins and a three-year-old little girl they adopted. Who feels better about their life? I do. I feel amazing, actually. I feel free as a bird. So he was crying tears of joy and the fact that he's lost his life. But it's amazing that when babies are birthed, when they grow up, I got a 14-year-old now. Suddenly we're into the teenage years. Talk about a new season to go, I trust you, God. Again, you have to let go. It's not just letting go. I got, you know, met Jesus when I was 5 years old in Portland, Oregon. I let go. But every season presents an opportunity to again say, God, I let go of control and I trust you in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Now, I want to go to an example, and not a lot is made of this guy named Joseph, but I'd like to use him as a point of study this morning, and it's going to be brief and relatively painless. I'd like to share with you three observations about Joseph. Who's Joseph? Joseph is the stepfather of Jesus, if you will. He is the temporary steward of Jesus. We know that God is the father, but Joseph is got the unusual assignment. He is engaged, if you will, or betrothed to Mary. Now, I know it's not Christmas time. Some of you are like, Judah, this is, have you confused the seasons? It's not Christmas time. I actually think Joseph can be talked about, not just around Christmas. I think the guy's in heaven going, can I get any like regular season time? Like, do I always have to be mentioned in a manger? Okay, so we're gonna go to Matthew chapter 1, way ahead of church schedules and cultures. And we're gonna read about Joseph. It says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. In fact, if you don't want to come to church on Christmas, like you already got your Christmas message for the season. I'm kidding. Relax. Okay. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and willing to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, Saint Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive, bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took his wife, but in conclusion, verse 25, but knew her not until she given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus, 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 Jesus. Again, titling this message, Letting Go, Letting Go. Will you join me one more time in prayer? Lord, we recognize that these moments are incredibly average unless you fill them, unless you mark them with your person and your reality and your beauty and your majesty. We thank you for that. God, thank you so much for your grace. Lord, wherever we are on the spiritual journey or spiritual spectrum, we ask that you'd meet us this morning. Thank you so much for Austin, and in fact, it's cooler than all the other cities in Texas. And God, all the way back into Los Angeles at the Coliseum, I'm asking that you'd help the Seahawks beat the Rams. Lord, we are looking for a miracle. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you guys even cheer for an NFL team here? Is it just UT? It's just kind of the Longhorns? Anybody cheer for a Seahawks? Bro, I knew I liked you the moment I met you a few minutes ago. You got the coolest hair in the game, and all cool people like the Seahawks. So mad respect right here. Who do you cheer for? The Seahawks? Oh, the Eagles. But you cheer for the Seahawks, but you cheer for the Eagles. So there are several churches we could recommend here in Austin. I'm kidding. I think you guys won the Super Bowl. We get it. Actually love the Eagles. A friend of mine just joined the Eagles, so God be with you. The Eagles are good. We're all birds here. Anybody else? Any other fans of, what's that? Go Pack Go. Is it a team from Wisconsin, or is that, I forgot they had a football team. Kidding. Come on. Cowboys. Oh, bro, we need to pray for you, don't we? It's a really rough time. Yeah, you got a lot of faith, actually, to be a Cowboys fan. That takes a lot of faith. But is this a Longhorn country? In Texas, Longhorns in the house. Some of the coolest uniforms, by the way, in the history of college football. I love them. Hook 'em horns. Come on. Is it just me, or is the Apple remote, Apple TV, is it way too small? Have you had this challenge? Like it's so itty bitty tiny. I don't understand. I don't know why Apple did this. I recently shared this on a message, and I had several people send me in the mail these very large rubber covers that actually makes the itty bitty Apple TV remote like larger. And it's actually changed my life. But before kind people from our church spent their own money to save my soul in regards to the Apple TV remote, it was getting lost every single day. I mean, I could find socks better than the Apple TV remote. The Apple TV remote is constantly missing. It is a prodigal product. It's constantly gone. That was a church joke. Constantly missing. And things kind of got ridiculous recently. This is about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. It could have been 3 years ago. I'm horrible with timelines. But let's go with 3 weeks ago. We were watching something on Apple TV. Oh, it's like our family TV program, which I won't tell you what it is because then you'll like judge me and be like, oh my gosh, that's not spiritual. So anyways, I won't tell you. I will never tell anyone what TV programming I watch, except I watch the Bible series. you know what I mean? And I watch The Passion of the Christ. But so we pause it for some particular reason. We pause the TV program. Probably somebody has to go to the bathroom or get water or whatever. And so I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to get some water, some coffee too. And I go out of the living room and I come back, and I had told my 14-year-old, Zion, hold on to the Apple TV remote because it literally, it will grow legs and apparently run away. Like you just hold the remote, take care of it. I don't want to look for the remote, right? I'm a man on a mission. I have a mandate. I want to serve people. I want to love Jesus. I want to watch my TV program. I do not have time to look for an Apple TV remote. I come back, and the negligence of my son is overwhelming. I go, Zion, where's the Apple TV remote? And I'm not proud of what happened over the course of the next 5 to 10 minutes, okay? But it's safe to say I lost perspective. You ever lost perspective where a problem is actually not as big as you're making it out to be, but in the moment, it feels larger than sin itself, right? And I go, Zion, where is the remote? And he goes, Dad, I don't know, I had it. And then I'm like, no, I've been gone for 2 minutes and 30 seconds, son. I need you to find the remote. He goes, Dad, it was right here. I go, wait a second. Did it slip into the crack of the couch? Now, you say, Judah, that's not that big of a deal, except if you have a couch like ours, which has those things that hook into, right, it's a sectional, and they hook into each other, and to unhook those and to get them back hooked, you have to have, like, skills. Skills that Pastor Maloof has that I do not have, okay? I can't paint, like, walls right. I can't vacuum well. I am not domestically talented at all. Okay, so I go, son, you find the remote, right? And he's like, Dad. I'm like, no, do not dad me. I am in charge. So he goes, oh, Dad, it's right there. It's in the crack. Can you see it? I'm like, yes, don't move. Because if you move, it'll drop under the sectional, right? And then I've got to move furniture. I've got to rearrange things. I'm not emotionally prepared for this. I'm trying to have a wonderful Saturday evening with my family. I go, don't move. He goes, no, Dad, I'll get it. He reaches down his fingers. It hits the remote, and it falls under the couch. And you literally would have thought that our family was bankrupt, right? I am like, what have you done? He literally looks at me. He's like, Dad, are you okay? I'm like, are you okay? You get it, right? And I don't really mean that because I don't actually want him to try to unhook the couch. He's probably going to break it. So then he's trying. I'm like, just get up, just leave the room. My daughter, my 9-year-old Grace, she's like, Daddy, are you okay? Daddy's fine. So I'm like, I can't believe this. I have to unhook. I'm saying it loud so everyone can hear me. I get Chelsea's, by the way, she's gone. She won't even be around when this happens. I go, this is really great. I got to unhook the whole couch. It's not really the whole couch, but it's like a piece of it. So I unhook the couch, and now I'm dramatically pushing it apart, like way too far. It's not even necessary, right? I'm like, just move the couch. And there's the remote. And I lift it up. I'm like, are we happy? Are we happy? Zion, get in here. Are you happy? I'm kind of standing there in this emotional moment. Chelsea walks back in. The kids walk back in. I'm like, and it hits me. I probably overdid this a little bit, right? I probably lost it a little bit. Hey, Judah, Earth to Judah, it's an Apple TV remote, right? Like, but what's ironic is we've been doing a study in our community on letting it go. And I love how we'll gather on Sundays and we'll be like, oh, that's so good. I'm just going to let go. But and sometimes I'm the preacher of the let go concept. I'm like, come on, church, let go. Let go. And yet the night before, I can't even let go of the fact that my 14-year-old lost the Apple TV remote. We love the concept of lay down your life. I'll go anywhere, God. But God forbid that the Apple TV remote go under the couch. And I literally want to put my kids up for adoption. Like, this is not okay. And then you're like, this is actually where the gospel is supposed to, like, kind of impact my life. Like, I'm supposed to have, I don't know, that's right, perspective. I'm supposed to be able to be like, it's okay, son. It's a little frustrating. Next time, will you please look after the road? Like, that's the dad I want to be. It's the dad I dream of being. Recently, a dad told me, he's like, I have never not one time raised my voice at my children. And I was like, I will never be your friend. I'm kidding. He's a great guy. But I instantly just felt so convicted because I can't remember the last time I didn't raise my voice. You know, it's always raised. So, but it is amazing how in the smallest of things in life, it sometimes it's, you know, it's a little sobering. It's like, God, I really want to be a let go person. I really want to be a let go person. I know we could talk about bitterness and envy and unforgiveness and those are certainly imperative that we relinquish, but sometimes it's the littlest things in life
that we're incapable of letting go. And so kind of the impetus behind this message this morning is that in the most average moments of a Saturday evening when you lose track of the Apple TV remote, I wonder if we could be the kind of people who are willing to say, hey, I can let this go. I can gain some perspective. God's good, God's big, God's faithful. And of course, you take that same attitude to the big things you got to let go of, and that again, that same attitude to the little things that you got to let go of. And it brings us to Joe. And frankly, he is quite an average Joe. And he is about to embark, whether he knows it or not, on a life of letting go. He's about to experience what it looks like when Jesus enters your life. I know we're talking about literal, physical, little baby Jesus, but Joe actually paints for us a beautiful portrait of what it looks like when Jesus comes in to your life. It's amazing in moments like these and gatherings like these, we're all like, oh, Jesus is amazing. But you should be forewarned that oftentimes welcoming Jesus into your life can be incredibly disruptive. Jesus tends to change everything. Everything. And so let us not forget that when Jesus comes into your life, it can rearrange and change a lot of things, and so it was for Joe. He's betrothed to this great gal, Mary, and of course, betrothal in antiquity and ancient time, it should be noted, it was different than an engagement, because in our culture, an engagement is something that it's like a precursor to marriage, and breaking it off is not shamed, it's not shunned, it's not a bad thing. It's like, hey, you weren't married, you were engaged for a reason. If engagement was marriage, we'd call it marriage, but it's engagement to the final check, you know, the final, like, walkthrough, the final, like, you know what, it's not going to work out. My sister was engaged before she married the man that she married. There's no shame in that. They decided right before hey, you know what? This is not right. And they made a great decision. But in Jesus' day, betrothal was synonymous with marriage. In other words, this couple were already under contract. And to get out of betrothal, you actually had to go through a very difficult divorce. In fact, to divorce during betrothal was more shamed and shunned than getting a divorce during actual quote-unquote marriage. Betrothal was the time of proving yourself. Betrothal was the time of, obviously, morality was imperative. Provision was imperative. And so Joe is going through a real season of scrutiny. It is, by definition, betrothal is a season of scrutiny. Can Joe be the man he needs to be? Before there is sexual intercourse, before there is living together, can Joe prove himself? So you got to understand, during this time, things are tense between Joe and Mary. They're being watched closely. And suddenly, Joseph is notified that apparently something's gone terribly wrong with Mary. Let's pretend they had phones. Mary calls Joe. Joe? Yo, what up, girl? Where you been? Are you good? Yeah, I'm good. I just need to tell you something. Girl, you can tell me whatever you want, but before you tell me what you're going to tell me, I just got to say you must be tired. Joseph, I am not tired. What are you talking about? Because you've been running through my head all day, girl. Like, listen, I'm telling you right now, girl. So you are so stupid. I'm stupid in love for you, girl. What's going on? You have a good day? Yeah, well, are you in a place you can talk? Yeah. Well, are you okay? I don't know. I had a visitor today. Who? Well, it wasn't like a normal visitor. Mary, what are you talking about? You sound weird. Well, it was weird, Joe. It was an angel. I'm sorry, Mary. Did you say an angel? Yeah. Did you laugh, Joe? No, sorry. I had something in my throat. You said an angel visited you. Yeah, I was like in the laundry room and like, it's like, ba-ba, and it was like so bright. And the angel had a message for me. Okay, Mary, all right. What was the message? Mary, just say it. Okay, I'm going to give birth to the Messiah. His name is Jesus. Save people from sins. He's going to be God. Mary, what'd you say? I'm pregnant. What? You're pregnant? Yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell you. Well, then why didn't you say it? I did say it. Why are you yelling at me? I'm not yelling. I'm just passionate. Who did it? What do you mean, who did it, Joe? Who got you pregnant? What's his name? I got big friends. Well, it's not like that. Mary, I know how this works. What do you mean it's not like that? It's not like that. It's God. Oh, that is gross, Mary. It's God? Oh, God did it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Yes, he did. Okay, we can blame God for a lot of things, but we cannot blame him for your pregnancy, which is going to ruin our marriage. Joe, you're not listening. It's not me. It was God. The angel said it's the Holy Spirit. Oh, Mary. Joe, I'm trying to tell you the truth. Look, I got to go. Talk to your mom. Talk to your parents. I got to go. Click. Joe is, you can imagine, his head spinning. You can't. I love in Christmas time, you know, we got all the lights and the kids are on stage and we're like, and Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And we all go, oh, that's so beautiful. Mary. Oh, to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Like, you know, like, we don't have altar calls. We're like, who wants to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit? Let's pray. You know, like, we don't do that. It happened once. So it was really weird. And if you're Joe, it's devastating. So Joe does what any good guy does when he's stressed. He takes a nap. That was funny to me. So takes a nap, and during the nap, God speaks to him. This is me, Joe. This is me. Calls him Son of David, which tells him he's the lineage of King David, which is to say, you have the courage of a king beating in your heart. You're going to do this. Son of David, listen to me. Son of David, I know you live in a little town called Nazareth, but you listen to me. You're an average Joe, but I'm about to invade your life and change everything. So you need to take Mary. And the first thing I'd like to identify, and just I'm just going to give you three things we need to let go of in the next 10 minutes. Number one, we need to let go. When it comes to following Jesus, we need to let go of being understood. We need to let go of being understood. And I think so much energy and time and passion is put towards, instead of following in the footsteps of Jesus, it's being understood. Being understood. Just a few days ago, we released a new application, a church app unlike a lot of people have seen before. We're calling it Church Home Global, and we've suggested that, you know, people could engage with community all over the world, and it is amazing. We have not been criticized not one time by people who don't know Jesus, but we're being criticized by Jesus worshipers. And everything in my being wants to get on that little application. It's not little, it's pretty big. And tell everybody, I just love Jesus and I just want to help people that are not walking into walls. Walking into buildings with walls. I just want to reach people. That's all. Don't be mad at me. I'm a nice guy. I'm wearing linen. You know, I don't know. Like, but sometimes you just, it's impossible to let everybody know, hey, but no, and explain yourself. What's Joe going to do? What's Joe going to do? Jesus invades his life and disrupts everything. You know what they called Jesus growing up, right? They called him the son of an adulterer. That was literally the criticism of Jesus, if you remember that, because it was said for Jesus' entire life, your mom, Mary, got pregnant with somebody other than Joe. It ruined Joe's reputation. The Bible says he was a just man. He was misunderstood for the rest of his life. He was a man who married an adulteress. And we don't have any record of Joe spending a lot of time trying to explain himself. What would you say? Now, it's not like that. It was God. Wow. It gets worse because, see, Joe, if I could be very direct, he could have minimized the misunderstanding. It says in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 1, he did not have sex with Mary until she birthed Jesus. Now, I'm just going to be honest, he could have minimized, had he been intimate with Mary, then they could have at least said, well, the child's probably mine. But he didn't even do that. He didn't take things into his own hands. He didn't try to look good. He let go. It's amazing to me because if you fast forward to John chapter 8, remember the woman caught in adultery? If you don't remember, no worries. There's this woman actually caught in the act of sex, and they bring her out into the middle dusty streets of the city, and they say, Jesus, what shall we do? And she was caught in the very act. And what we don't ever think about is, I wonder if Jesus thought about his mom when he saw that woman in the street. Because what they called that woman, they also called his mother. And guess who Jesus acted like in that moment? He acted like his stepdad, Joseph, who cared for a woman who was said to be less than because of her moral acts. No, actually, we fail to recognize that Jesus learned a lot from his stepdad, carpenter father, who we believe worked with wood, but also we believe could have worked with stone. He was a man who worked with his hands, and yet Jesus had to learn some things from Joe, who for the rest of his life, this is a small town they grew up in, folks. Small towns talk. Small towns talk. Joe was never the same. I wonder if when following Jesus, we're willing to relinquish being understood. The next thing I think we've got to let go of is our future. Being understood and our future, and I'll just speak to Expression Church in general. I think we got to let go of our future. We got to trust God with your future and our future as a church. Do you know what happens to Joe? He lives in Nazareth. They go to Bethlehem to have Jesus. There is immediately a threat on Jesus' life. And so for the first 2 years of Jesus' life, do you know where they live? Egypt. And Joe doesn't even wear mascara, right? Nobody talks about this. The first 2 years of Jesus' life were where? Egypt. They were outsiders. They didn't belong. They didn't even look the part. They didn't have the right features. Their skin wasn't the right tone. They were clearly from another place. Oftentimes, when Jesus comes into your life, it leads you to places you never thought you would be, but you have to trust God with your future that he's working it together for good. Can I hear an amen? And so you need to know there are people here this morning, you feel like you're in Egypt. That don't think something crazy is happening to your life. Jesus spent a couple years in Egypt. And Joseph must have been in Egypt for 2 years going, what happened to my life? He was a just man, which is to say he had a good reputation. He was well recognized. He was well welcomed and invited and esteemed and honored. He was a young man of great promise. Maybe someday he was going to be the mayor of Nazareth. And now he's in Egypt? Why? Because Jesus is in your life. And he's in Egypt for 2 years, probably thinking, Mary, what are we doing? And every day they had to tell themselves, we're going to trust God. We're going to trust God. We're going to trust God. We're going to trust his promise. Nobody understands. Our families think we're crazy, but we're going to trust God even in Egypt. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but you may feel like you're in the middle of those 2 years. Whatever you do, steady as it goes. Don't make some big old decision when you're in the midst of Egypt. Just keep doing what you're doing. And that leads us to my concluding point. Not only do you have to let go of being understood and let go of your future, you got to let go of the results. You got to let go of the results. And I don't pretend that that is an easy thing to say, because that is the day and age in which we live. Never in human history have we had more scoreboards than we have right now. I have scoreboards on your social life. I can tell you if you're known or not known. I can tell you if you're liked or not liked, whether or not it's true, whether or not it's real. They say we're more connected than ever. That is leading us to more disconnection than ever. So we got scoreboards everywhere. Think about it. I mean, growing up in school for me, I didn't. There was no scoreboard. Now there's my kids have a lunchroom, but now they have an online scoreboard that actually tells them the results of their social experience. It's amazing. And so we are wired, so wired now for results. But what I've come to learn about Jesus is oftentimes, because God is a generational God, we don't oftentimes see the results we want or the results we think we're going to get or the results we think we have to have. And because we don't get the results, I think oftentimes when it comes to our journey of faith, we stop doing what God called us to do because we don't see results. See, God has called you, period. God has not called you to results of your own making. Only, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. The results category, somewhere along the line, became our responsibility, and it's not. It's God's.
Such perfect timing. Thank you so much. That was seamless, as they say. Is there an area in your life right now where you're starting to tell yourself, well, this can't be God? And why? Well, there's no results. You ever wonder why you don't see Joseph ever mentioned in Jesus' adult ministry in life? There's no mention of him. Do you know why? Almost all scholars agree. He died when Jesus was a teenager. He died when Jesus was a teenager. There were a few glimpses of the phenomenon, the God-man, the Messiah. But for the most part, other than like he was the easiest kid to raise ever, Joseph never saw the results. Never saw the results. Maybe in eternity, but in this life, never saw the results. Never got to see Jesus turn water into wine. He wasn't there. You ever notice that? He was gone. He died before he could see his son change the world. But he left a legacy. He showed his son. He demonstrated, gave him an example. The Bible says Jesus submitted to his mother and his father, and he learned things. So he was fully God, but he was fully man, and he learned from Joseph because his father knew how to let go. How deep was the soul of Joseph, who had let go of being understood, let go of his reputation, let go of his plan. Can you imagine the plan Joseph had in place? You don't even get to be betrothed unless you have a plan that is impressive. And so your parents agree, the betrothal can begin. Joseph was a man with a plan, and his plan was ruined by Jesus. Those 2 years in Egypt, Joseph must have thought to himself, what's happened to my plan? Oh, Joseph, you have no idea. You have become a part of a much bigger plan. And if you will relinquish your plan, God will work his plan in your life, and he will shock you with what he can do with your ordinary, average life. Just trust God, and then he let go of the results. I don't know, did he let go of the results, or did he have no choice? He just never got to see it. It's amazing what we determine as defeat in this life. It's amazing what we have determined as not winning, not succeeding, not a big deal, not a great life. It's amazing how quick we throw those phrases around. Well, you know, they didn't do much. And how do you know? Wow. Reading this book? The Bible says he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is to say what he promised Abraham. Do you know there are parts of what he said to Abraham that you and I are fulfilling? Abraham, count the stars if you're able. He says, I can. He says, and so shall your descendants be, as numerous as the sand on the seashore and as innumerable as the stars in the sky. That is, expression church is a part of fulfilling that. Well, that was thousands of years ago, but that's the God of many generations. So we've got to relinquish results and understand that our prayers and our acts of faith never die. Never die. And that we continue to build for generations to come as the Lord tarries. What if we just lived life doing what God said and trusting him with the results? I have discovered that many men and women have injured themselves and overextended themselves because they seek results and they have lost sight of what we're called to be is faithful. Faithful. Oh, man, how refreshing is faithful. How innovative today is faithful.
How invigorating today is to find someone faithful. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm going to do. And some may call it average Joe, and some may call it small and simple. And I may never see the results in my lifetime, but I'm going to do what God called me to do today. Can I tell you that you're greater than you think you are? Your life matters more than you think it does. And I want to thank you, Expression Church, for your faithfulness. I want to thank you, Expression Church, for day after day. Jesus says, if any man desires to come after me, let him let go of his life. Take up his cross today. Just today, not yesterday, not tomorrow. You can't do that. Only today. And follow in my footsteps. It's not complicated. It's simple. Let us, you and I, be followers of Jesus. Can I pray for you? Jesus, I thank you so much for what you're doing here in Cedar Park, Texas, in Austin, Texas, in Expression Church. We love you so much. And we're so overwhelmed at the beauty and simplicity of the life you have invited us into. We love you, Jesus. And I declare today over Expression Church, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no need for shame. There is no need for guilt in this room at all. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, God, for courage and strength to live this life. If you're here today and you say, Judah, I'd like to become a follower of Jesus. I'd like to become a follower of Jesus. I'm going to ask everyone just to close their eyes just for a moment before Pastor Ryan comes. If you're here and you said, Judah, I want to become a follower of Jesus, for the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. If you'd like to receive the forgiveness that only Jesus offers, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand and put it right back down. The reason I ask people to raise their hand, I believe when you respond on the outside to what's happening on the inside, it becomes all the more real to you. You know who you are. One, God loves you. Two, you'll never be the same. Three, if that's you, would you shoot your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Anybody else, slip up your hand, put it right back down. Thank you. Thank you. I'll include you in this prayer. Jesus, I thank you that forgiveness flows freely at Expression Church. We are freely forgiven forever. Ever. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you for salvation right now. Secondly, if you're here, you say, Judah, I love Jesus, but I feel like I've been in Egypt. I feel like I'm wondering, God, where is this headed? What's going on? And I need strength and I need courage to stay steady and keep doing the little things that God has called me to do, the simple things that God has called me to do. If you know God's talking to you today, would you shoot your hand up in the air and say, man, that's me. I know God's talking to me. So God, we thank you for the honor and the privilege it is to be faithful. That you would find us faithful, that you would find us consistent. We thank you, God, what you started Expression Church, you will be faithful to complete it. You have not brought us out this far to take us back again. We thank you, God, that you are faithful and you are true, and what the enemy means to derail us and detour us and dismay us, you are going to use it and work it together for good. We declare that over your church today. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. We love you, Jesus. We worship you and we honor you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.